All right, I'm here. I'm in Pendleton, Indiana. I got Tobin. I got Kyle. Flatfoot56. How's it going, guys?
Good, man. Doing well.
It's going really well. So I'm just chilling out in the nursery right now. So
it's nice in here, though. It's nice and nice and homey in here. Yeah. So this is a pretty small town. This is one of the smallest towns you guys have played on this tour, if not ever.
Yeah, I know. Oh, what is it? Oh.
We played some pretty small towns, but yeah, it's definitely we drove through the little downtown Pendleton on the way here, and it was pretty small, but it looked quaint and looked lively, so that was cool.
How's the tour going so far?
That's good. We're just doing a weekend this weekend. We've been kind of just doing weekends for the month of November and December, and we got off a 6-week tour at the end of October.
Nice.
And we're out with Less Than Jake and Real Big Fish and some ska bands. So,
nice.
Yeah, we're just kind of doing weekends for the time being and hanging out, so it's fun.
Nice. Right now you're supporting the latest album, Toil.
Mm-hmm.
Great album. I had a chance to check it out the other night.
Awesome.
I recently discovered Spotify, which is one of the best things ever.
Definitely.
And up until recently, the only album I had heard was Jungle. And it's probably one of my favorite ones.
Cool.
But I was able to check out Blackthorn, Toil, all the way through. And tell me a little bit about that album.
Toil?
Yeah.
Well, Toil is the newest record we put. It came out in July of this year with Paper and Plastic Records. It's our first record with that label. And there's just a lot. I don't know. It seems to have, it's the first record we actually recorded with our two newest members, Brandon and Eric. But they've been with us for about 2.5 years. Actually, in December, it'll be 3 years. Our last record was actually recorded with Josh, our old Piper, and then he quit before it came out. So, there's a lot more to it. There's a lot more guitar parts, a lot more harmonies. There's a lot more, you know, grew up a little bit more, you know, and got better. And song structures are really good. And I don't know, I've been hearing a lot of really good reviews. It's actually getting better reviews than the last record, which actually was on Billboard charts. So, which is kind of cool to see. But the music industry is such a weird place right now. It's kind of hard to know for anything what anything's going to do. So, that Toil is a great record. It's got a lot of themes in it that are very daily struggle oriented, and a lot of themes of hope, you know, which is a pretty common thing in Flatfoot Records. We're not too negative of a band, but it's a lot of fun.
Nice. What's it been like recording with Johnny from Street Dogs? You worked with him, Toil, and I believe Blackthorn.
Yeah.
Why did you decide to work with him again for this album? You know, and what's your relationship like with him?
It's good. We're good buddies, and the first time going around was a lot of fun to figure out how he would produce and how he would help us out with our songwriting. And Blackthorn went really well. We were really happy with the way it went, the production-wise, his input and how we could tighten up some screws in some of the songs. And then when Toil came out, or when we were about to do Toil, it was kind of familiarity. And we were just kind of like, we feel like we really liked and we can do better if we have a better studio and do it at home and have more available musicians that we can work with and everything like that. So we decided to bring him to Chicago, and we decided to do Toil in Chicago and then work with him there.
Toil is the first record we've done in our hometown, which is really cool, and I think we'll never do another one outside. So, I mean, if I can have anything to say about it, I liked it. So it was definitely cool to be able to work in a city like that in our hometown. So.
Nice. One of my favorite songs, actually one of the first songs, Brother, Brother. Mm. That's personally one of my favorites.
Cool.
Can you tell me a little bit about, you know, the message and what's behind that song?
Sure. Over the last few years, we've had a lot of friends that have kind of dipped back into their old ways of drug addiction and things like that, and the whole song is kind of a song written to them, kind of pleading with people that you just watch completely going downhill really quick, and just being like, I don't understand why this is happening, you know what I mean? Like, been dealing with a lot of stuff like that for the last year or two, where there's a lot of friends that have been, you know, getting back into drug abuse or suicide, you know, it's just like, what is going on? And trying to write a song to kind of reach out to those people that are just like in a position of life frustration and saying, hey, listen, you don't have to go back to these vices. You can rely on people around you. We're here, you know, we want to be here for you. And, you know, trying to plead with somebody to kind of think outside their box a little bit and not get attached to the things that will kill them. And then, you know, So that's what that song's particularly about. You know, it's, wow. It's a song of trying to be hopeful for somebody who's not at all. So.
Wow. One of my other things about favorite things about Toil is finally recorded "I'll Fly Away" and put it on a record. It's been like a staple of the live show for so long. Yeah, yeah. Why did you like decide to just now put on a record? It's maybe something you just never, you know, you're like, well, let's just do it now, or were you kind of waiting for a while to do that?
Yeah, "I'll Fly Away."
Yeah.
Actually, we didn't start doing it till after we released Blackthorn. I don't think we ever started playing "I'll Fly Away" until right after Blackthorn. So we never really put out any recorded material since we put out Toil. So. It was kind of an easy decision of, hey, we really like the way this cover sounds. We like what we're doing, so let's put on the latest record. So, and now it's kind of like one of those steady songs that we play pretty much every night before we end. So.
Yeah. The first time I saw you guys was Cornerstone 2011.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd heard a little bit of Flatfoot 56, and one of my first experiences is, guys, I came in late from the Petra show, sat that night. Yeah. And I walked into everyone with their arms around each other singing "I'll Fly Away" and "Amazing Grace."
Yeah.
I'm like, that's what Cornerstone, you know, it's sad awesome. That it's sad that it ended.
But, yeah, it's the end of an era, definitely.
Yeah, but the live show is great. How much time do you guys put, you know, into your live show and your performances? How much, you know, what is it like getting ready?
Well, for Cornerstone, that's a different world. We have a whole stage show with props and everything for that. Earlier on, we spent way more time practicing and stuff. We don't practice very much. This weekend, we actually have a fill-in drummer for my brother who needed the weekend off to be with his wife this weekend. But they actually practiced two or three times this week to kind of get the new drummer ready for the shows. But we don't usually practice a whole lot unless we're writing new stuff. Because we play so much, it's, you don't need to, you know what I mean? Like, maybe we should practice more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of the stuff is, a lot of times a year we play so much together that it's hard to get into a recording spot or in a jam area and just practice, you know? So, but a lot of it's just familiarity with playing with each other. That usually helps. You can see that on stage. So,
another one of my favorite moments from seeing you guys was Ignite Fest last year in Illinois, the Striper Skillet Red Festival. I think you guys actually started a grass war between each side of the stage.
Yeah, it's fun.
that was really cool. You guys have played a lot of bigger stages. You know, Warped Tour. You toured with Rise Against.
We played a show with Rise Against. Yeah, we'd love to tour with Rise Against. It'd be awesome.
Ataris, you guys have played with. But you've also played some of the smaller shows, like tonight.
Yeah.
Differences are obvious, but do you have a preference to some of the bigger shows, smaller shows?
I think most of our preferences only lie in the hearts of the people that are there. If they're into the show, I don't care if it's a house show. If they're tearing that place up, that's a good show to us. If we're at the Rise Against show, I think was the biggest show we ever played. It was 17,000 people. And, they were into it, so it was cool. But if 17,000 people are staring at you, not knowing what to do, it's not going to be a good show, you know? So whether they're there or not, you know, it's all about the spirit of the crowd. And so for us, I mean, we run the gamut. We'll play a show. We played one show one time in front of 12 people. And then the next night played in front of 6,000 at this conference. So, like, it just changes every day, you know? So it just, you know, it all depends. I think if we have 12 people at a show who are destroying the place and having a great time, I'll take that over, you know, thousands who aren't. So I think that's the essence of what punk rock is, you know, just enjoying yourself no matter what. And just, it's all about the spirit and not the popularity of it. It's just... what is this about, you know, and that's what we love, you know, and it's, it'd be nice to play in front of 6,000 people every night, you know, I'm down with that, but at the same time, it just, that's how it works.
Sometimes it's the smaller shows that are crazier and more fun anyway.
Exactly.
So like a lot of the bigger festivals, the smaller stages are just insane.
Yeah, totally. More personable.
Yeah, definitely. Able to get closer to the band's closer to the fans.
Yeah.
But with Celtic punk. You got bands like Flogging Molly, Dropkick Murphys. A lot of their lyrics, you know, have a lot to do with, you know, drinking, somewhat negative. But for the most part, your lyrics are really positive. They're all very clean. And a lot of that has to do with your Christian faith as well. How important is it to you to keep it positive for the fans?
Well, I don't think we keep it positive for positive sake. I think we're more interested in authenticity. You know what I mean? Like, any band, whether it be Flogging Molly or Dropkick Murphys, they're going to sing, you know, or Flatfoot 56, they're going to sing from their heart, hopefully, unless you're being fake and unless you have a shtick of some kind where you're, you know, that's always fun too sometimes. But none of those three bands that I just listed have shticks. They're just who they are. And I've always had this kind of feel. I write a lot of lyrics and always had this feel of I don't want them to leave a song just for being depressed for depressed sake. I want to be able to relate to them. And honestly, when you sing a song, you speak it from your heart. I find that I relate to our songs later, if that makes any sense. I'll write the lyrics of a song, and then in the middle of a set while I'm playing it, it'll just start hitting me, and it relates to me. It's like, whoa, this song totally became real to me all of a sudden. I wrote it. Like, I know that may sound weird, but it's like, it happened to me the other day, and I was like, man, with what I'm going through in life right now, this is exactly where I'm at, you know. So that's a pretty cool feeling whenever that happens. But
Three brothers are in the band together.
Yeah.
What are some of the advantages that you found that maybe you didn't think there would be when you started the band, of having your siblings play with you and tour with you and being around you day after day?
Yeah, that's a good one. I obviously, chemistry, you know, like, we know how each other work. We know what really makes us angry. We kind of know our pet peeves. And since you're blood, you're a lot more loyal to each other. So it's, you don't have to worry as much about losing, you know, your member or a guy ditching out on you, you know. So that's definitely a helpful thing. And a lot of times, just growing up, you know what your limits are. You know what you can do with each other, and you're just very familiar. So I think it's a huge blessing out of anything. I can't see really many downsides of it, really, for the most part. So
a lot of bands tour with family now. You know, Skillet tours wife and husband, wife with their kids. I think it looks like it's becoming more common now too. One question I have is, how did Brandon and Eric come to join the band?
Sure, yeah, that's a good question. Josh left in 2009, and Eric was our merch guy for years. He traveled with us, he grew up with us, we've known him ever since we were kids. So he was always around, and Brandon used to throw shows for us in his garage, and would be in other bands that we'd play with all the time. He was kind of the music enthusiast of the South, way deep South side, and he would always be involved, and we knew he played mandolin real well. He's just a musician all around, you know, he's amazing. So it kind of worked out to where we were just like, hey, you want to join, you know, you play guitar and mandolin, and you can sing really well, this is great, you know. I can pretty much throw any stringed instrument in your hand and it'll be fine, you know. So it's a good guy to have on your, yeah, on your band's roster. So both him and Eric are amazing musicians, and they're amazingly good dudes to be on the road with, so that's cool. So yeah, that's how they pretty much came along. Just knowing them over the years, they were both band fans okay, of the band, and we were just watching a promotional video we had shot back in 2003 for Knuckles Up, our first record, and the first shot of the video is a bunch of kids at a show, and there's Eric McMahon is sitting right there as a 13-year-old kid, but the show ready just to tear the place up, you know. And so he's been around forever, you know, he's been around, so.
Why did you decide to go Celtic punk instead of just punk rock or other types of music?
When we first started, we had no knowledge of a Celtic punk scene at all, to be honest with you. Like, we wanted to start a three-piece punk band, and we had a friend who played bagpipes, and we were like, let's see if the bagpipes can be played with punk. Let's do it, you know what I mean? And we were naive kids. We didn't know much about the scene. We knew who the Ramones were and then a few of our favorite bands, but we had no clue about the big picture, and So we started incorporating the bagpipes. It was really hard for us at first. As time went on, we started learning about more bands. We had Josh join the band because he played guitar as well, and we're like, let's see if we can figure this bagpipe thing out in, because it would be neat to see a band that had bagpipes in it, you know what I mean? AC/DC did it, why can't the rest of us, you know? And so we tried that, and as time went on, you know, our sound developed. We got into different styles of music, things started in. The Pogues started being a pretty important band to us. And we were big fans of old British Oi style music, so that kind of influenced us a lot as well. So,
okay.
Just kind of this weird morphing of. Eventually, Josh picked up a mandolin at a Kentucky flea market one day, and while we were on tour, and he's like, just started messing around with it. We were like, yeah, let's incorporate another instrument. That's fine, you know. And became another instrument that we always put in.
Kind of like a domino effect, kind of.
It was. It wasn't we listened to a Celtic punk band and then go out and start a punk band because we liked them. It wasn't that at all. First punk band I ever got into was Goaty Hook, actually.
Oh.
And that was like the first punk rock album that I ever gave a chance to, because I was a ska kid. I was into like Five Iron and Supertones and Insiders and stuff like that. And I didn't like punk, actually. I remember going to those shows and watching Goaty Hook and Stave Sager and all these bands play and being like, I can't dance to this. This is boring, you know? And then one day I was skating on a skate ramp and this one kid gave me, he put some headphones on my ear and he said, check this song out. And it was a song off of Goaty Hook's Sumo Surprise. And it changed the way that I thought about music from the day out, you know.
Nice. Finally, what is your favorite part about Toil? Or favorite thing about Toil?
Favorite thing about Toil? I absolutely love the artwork, the cover. I mean, the record's great. There's a few songs on there that I'm really, really happy that we got around to recording and to putting out. And there's a lot of things I like about it. I think there's a little rushed, but other than that, I'm happy with it for the most part. But the artwork I thought was outstanding. I love the artwork on the record. So,
I think it's probably the most diverse record we have when it comes to, you know, we never did a lot of harmonies and stuff in our songs. We never did a lot of mad guitar solos. It's just a lot more technical of a record. I think a lot more music and musicianship on it's a lot more creative and in depth, which is nice to see happen. So that's one of my favorite parts about it.
I like how, I love the intros on the last two albums. I love how it just goes straight into the music.
Yeah.
You know, that's awesome.
Yeah, we figured we'd give a break to some of the intros. They were great. I think the Jungle of the Midwest Sea intro is the best by far.
That's awesome.
But it's one of those fun things, you know.
Awesome. Well, thanks guys. I appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, pleasure, man.
Thank you.
Definitely.